Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
This is the second session regarding repentance. The first one was recorded many weeks ago, and repentance will come out into two CDs, and this is the second one. One day, I asked God this, God, why do you need to put teachers in the body of Christ? Why do you need to anoint some people to be teachers and preachers? And God told me this. You remember, Abraham did not have any teacher. Abraham did not go to church to have somebody preach to him. And he told me, why? Because Abraham listened to God all the time. One of the reasons that we need the CD and the teaching, because majority of Christians do not listen to the Spirit of God. Just their mind is so full of the things in the world. They just think about this and that, the business, the housing, the this and that, and they never really have time or spend time or focus on listening to the voice of God. In fact, if you listen to God carefully, you will hear a lot what God wants to speak to you. Actually, God wants to speak to you all the time. But the problem is that we don't listen to Him. And that's why He needs to use all these methods. Reading the Bible, preaching, teaching, using teacher and CD and all this, so that we will hear something that He wants to talk to us. He wants to teach us. Actually, the best teacher in the church is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. He is the best teacher. Amen. Amen. So tonight I'd like to share with all of you about five elements that make repentance complete. If you don't understand these five elements of repentance, you may not really have a true repentance in your life. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will teach us, will, Lord, speak into our heart. Help your servant, your children in the church to be repentant people, yes, to have a lifestyle of repentance all the days of their life, Lord. We bless you. We ask you, Lord, that you will teach us through this lesson, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of people in the world think that repentance just means feeling sorry, feeling regret, or feeling shame when they do something wrong. And I used to do that. I remember when I was a non-believer, when I did something wrong and I get caught, I was very shameful, and I was very sad that I get caught. But I did not truly repent, because when the time that I can do it again, the opportunity rises up, I would do it again. So repentance is more than just feeling sorry. There are five things that make repentance complete. And I want to emphasize one more time that you will not make it to heaven, even though you claim that you are a Christian, or you say that you believe in Jesus, if you never repent. Because in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you need to do two things. Number one, believe in the good news, which means believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and He died to pay for your sin. And secondly, you need to repent of your sin. That's what the Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus say, repent and believe in the good news, and then the kingdom of God will belong to you. You see, if you don't repent, we fool ourselves. We deceive ourselves. In fact, my daughter read a book from John Bevere. And one day John Bevere has had a vision. In that vision, he was so trembling and he was so shocked, because God showed him in that vision that he saw that there are big churches out there everywhere, and bunch of people sitting in the church. But on the last day, God showed him that those people in the church did not make it to heaven. he was so shocked because they all walked down to hell. And he was really trembling that what is going on here in the body of Christ? Why people go to church but they don't go to heaven? So we have to be careful. Sitting in the church building will not make us to go to heaven. Amen. Amen. We need to really repent of our sin. And that's why we need to learn about repentance. Five elements. Number one, conviction. Number two, contrition. You heard the word contrite heart. Sorrowful heart. Submissive heart. Yielding heart. Confession of sin. Okay? Number one, conviction. Number two, contrition. Number three, confession. Number four, conversion. And number five, restitution. Five things that I want to explain tonight, if I have enough time. The first thing, conviction. Everyone say conviction.
Conviction.
We don't truly repent if we don't have deep conviction of sin in our heart. You notice one thing, that in our society, the media has promoted and endorsed sinful lifestyle. Do you notice that? This morning I watched TV in the operating room and I saw that nowadays they're really careful, very concerned about kids at 11 years old watching pornography and bad picture in the internet. And it's so obvious that you can click on the internet and you can see pornographic pictures and bad ones. This is not, this is a my one, it's a very bad one. I just went to Las Vegas and it's so clear everywhere. It's okay to smoke. It's okay to gamble. Actually, I was walking on the street. On the street, people hand out small card. And if you look at the card, there is a pornographic picture invite you to go to the nightclub. People line up. I saw 200 people lining up into the nightclub. I was so sad that people don't go to church, but they, it's normal, it's promoted, it's okay to go to nightclub and to drink and to get drunk. But there is no conviction of sin in their heart at all. In fact, after the 24 hours, Pastor Da told me, let's call the airline, we're going to fly back to Seattle. She couldn't handle it. It's so, the sin in that city was so bad that she said, I want to come back home. But we could not get the airplane, so next day we decided to get the bus to go out to Grand Canyon because we don't want to be in the city anymore. It's so sinful city. You can see that the media, the society promote sin. Therefore, in our society nowadays, it's normal to sin. It's normal to read pornographic books. It's normal to lie. It's normal to cheat. It's normal to be arrogant. It's normal to discriminate people. Therefore, we cannot have true repentance until we have true conviction of sin, that sin is not good. Sin is against God. Sin is rebelling against God. If we don't have that conviction, we will never repent. Amen?
Amen.
So, look at Romans chapter 1, verses 29 to 32. The Bible talk about humanity, that they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. Wow, look at all those slot machines. Nowadays, we don't have to do this anymore. You just punch. Slot machine. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do not do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve. Everyone say approve.
Approve.
They approve of those who practice them. They do anything to promote sin. I heard that they pump oxygen into the hotel so that people can stay longer to gamble. They make the walking way in the hotel to be so confused that you cannot get out of there. You will not find a way out the exit door. You get in and you get lost. You have to gamble all night. You know, they promote everything. Amen. So you can see that the world really know how to invent all this beautiful building, all this internet, all the things to sin against God. But conviction of sin is necessary. And how people can come to that conviction of sin, there are two things that God is using. Number one, He used the Word of God. He uses His Word. That's why I want to encourage all of you, take advantage of our CD. Please, send CD to your friend. Listen to CD. Give CD to your husband. Give CD to your neighbors, your co-workers. Let them listen, because they will never come to conviction of sin until they hear the Word of God. The Word of God bring conviction. The Bible says in James chapter 1 verses 23 to 24, anyone who listens to the Word but does not do that, does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So in other words, the Bible says the Word of God is like a mirror. When you read the Word, it will show yourself who you are. Is that right? One time, a man, 20-something years ago, I sent a Bible to a brother of my servant in Thailand. 2 months later, I got the news that he became a Christian just reading the Bible. He accepted Jesus Christ. Because when he read the Bible, he find out that he is a sinner and he need to repent. You see, people need to hear the Word of God. Amen. Amen. The second thing that God uses to bring conviction is His own Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5, because our gospel came to you not simply with words. You see, not only words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. Amen. That's why I love revival. Because when the Holy Spirit is moving, He is bringing conviction. Amen. Is that right? Amen. That's why it's easy to pastor a church with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. People repent so fast. Amen. I am so blessed by knowing about members in Thailand. They are all 1-year-old Christians. And when you read the email, when you read what they talk about God, they repent so fast. Today I read one email from a sister in Thailand. This lady got touched by God again and again and again. And she kept saying, oh, I need to be humble. I need to repent. I need to love God. Oh, every word in her email really touches my heart. That she really repenting all the time. Why? Because the Holy Spirit brings conviction. Amen. Amen. So please take serious about being touched by the Spirit. Take serious about revival. Take serious about the fire of God. You cannot repent by yourself. You know what I mean? Because you have the nature of sinner. Sinners love to sin. You don't need to teach sinner to sin. They sin anyway. So you don't have your own conviction. The only way you can come to conviction is that you need to encounter, you need to confront with the Word of God. And you need to confront with the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God will bring conviction to you. Amen. Amen. So number one, conviction. Number two, contrition. Contrition means deep godly sorrow for sin and shortcomings. It means yielding. It means surrendering to God and say, God, I am sorry for my sin. If there is no contrition in our heart, there will not be true repentance. If you never feel sorry of what you did wrong, you never repent. Amen? Yes. This is important. Because you know why? If you don't have contrition, if you don't have a contrite heart, you will definitely turn back to that sin very fast. The only way to get away from sin is to have a contrite heart. Contrition is a place of humbleness. It's a place of lowliness. In our spirit. I know that a lot of Christians in the world, are trained to be in traditional situation that people come and sit on a chair for 1.5 hours on Sunday, singing songs, listen to sermon and go home. To see people fall on the floor in revival is weird. It's like very strange to them. I noticed that a lot of guests walk out of our church and they don't want to come back again. I tell you the truth, that they don't understand about contrition, because laying down on the floor is a sign of humility, is a sign of yielding, is a sign of saying, God, I yield to you, I want you to do. You can cut on me, you can operate on me, you can do anything on my life, in my life. I am yielding to you, I'm sorry of my sin. I cannot help myself. Amen. Amen. To fall on the ground is very common in the Bible. But nowadays, Christians don't understand. But it's biblical. It's biblical. It's okay to lie down before God and let God operate on you and deal with you and convict you and bring changes into your life. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 51, verse 17, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. God honors a contrite heart, a humble and a heart of sorrow towards sin. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm chapter 38, verse 8, King David say, I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. Amen.
Amen.
So we need to come, when we repent, we are sorrowful of our sin. But be careful. Don't stay in that sorrow forever. Because if you let that sorrow control you for a long time, you will end up having a condition called condemnation, self-condemnation. You don't want to live in self-condemnation. You sorrow, you repent, and move on. You don't stick to, you don't dwell on the sorrow of your sin forever. You move on with your life, go on with God, go on into the new things, the bright future, the plan of God that He has in store for you. Don't stay in, don't dwell on the sorrowful heart. Amen. Let's move on. Amen. That's why the Bible says that there are two kinds of sorrow. One kind of sorrow we call godly sorrow that brings to repentance. But the worldly sorrow, sometimes we chain the godly sorrow into the worldly sorrow. And then we stay in there and have condemnation, self-condemnation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9, yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. So don't stay in worldly sorrow. Amen.
Amen.
Godly sorrow will bring true repentance and will eventually bring peace, joy, righteousness, and an abundant life.
Amen.
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 I want to encourage all of you. God has the best plan in store for you.
Thank you.
He has a plan to prosper you. He has a plan of future for you. Amen.
Amen.
Repent when you sin and move on.
Amen.
Don't stay there. Don't stay in sadness and sorrowful feeling all the days of your life. Move on. Have the joy of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't trap into the worldly sorrow. Amen.
Amen.
Let the joy of the Lord fill your heart. Amen.
Yes.
Number three, confession. Number one, what?
Conviction.
Number two, contrition. Number three, confessing of our sin to the Lord. True repentance means admitting the truth to the Lord. When you repent, it means you agree with God that you are wrong. Is that right? And when you agree, you admit and you say it. You confess with your mouth. When you confess with your mouth that you are wrong, you acknowledge that you have done wrong things against God. You missed the target. You did not do the right thing. You confess, you tell God, yes, I am wrong. The Bible say, King David say like this in Psalm chapter 32 verse 5. Then I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Even King David say, I will confess my transgressions. Mm. You need to say to God, I am sorry, God. I have done wrong against you. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God already know that you repent. God already know that you have sinned against him. Why do we have to confess with our mouth? Because when we confess, we show that, number one, we agree with God that we have sinned against God. Number two, we express that we do not hide our transgression from the Lord. We make it clear out in the public that I am wrong, God. And not only that, when we confess, we show that we rely on the power of God to help us to overcome that sin. It shows what? Confession shows depending on God. That we depend on God. That God, could you please help me, Lord? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Number four, conversion. Again, conviction, contrition, confession, and now conversion. Conversion means turn 180. Everyone say 180.
180.
We need to turn 180 degrees. We make a full turn into the opposite direction. We turn away from our sinful way. We turn away from our way of death. Amen.
Amen.
That show repentance. Amen. So action will show that we need to take action of repentance. Our life, we need to show the fruit of action of repentance. We cannot just say, I'm sorry, God, I have done wrong, confess with your mouth. It's not enough. You need to show the turnaround of your action. Actually, I was very proud of my son that while we were walking on the strip in Las Vegas, a lot of people were handing those pictures. And this paper dropped on the ground, on the street. And some of them, you can see, nude woman, you know, very clear. And when we all saw that, and my son looked down too, and he was shocked. And we say right away, you know, and he looked at my face and say, oh, wow, he know right away that this is not good for him. You know what he did? I was so proud of him. He said, Mom and Dad, could you grab my hand? And this is a true story. Grab my hand so I can focus. And all the way, he walked like this. He walked straight, the face never looked down. He just looked straight all the time. And he said, grab my hand so that I remember that I should not sin against God. I will not look at those pictures and fall into temptation. I mean, he is 13 years old. He has hormone already. You need to understand, 13 years old kid have hormone already. So when Pastor Da grabbed his hand all the time and walked throughout the strip, and he did not look down, and he looked at my face. See, I don't sin against God. You know, I was so proud of him that he was so sensitive to the heart of his parents and the heart of God. Amen. Amen. So when you repent, you show it. You take action. You know, Paul did not just say that, oh, I'm not going to, I don't like pornography, but he show action. He looks straight all the time. You know, it's what an experience, you know, that you expose your own family into the situation that they need to make decision whether they're going to follow the devil or follow God. You know, sometimes God allow that to happen, that we need to pass the test. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And I thank God that we passed the test. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent then and turn to God. Everyone say, turn to God.
Turn to God.
Everyone say again, 180.
180. 180.
Acts chapter 26 verse 20 say the same thing. I preach that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. Everyone say, by my deeds.
By my deeds.
Your action need to show that you repent. Amen. Not only your mouth. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13. He who conceals his sin does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. We need to confess and renounce. Say, no, I'm not going to do this again. I turn my life away from this sin. I'm going to follow God. Matthew chapter 3 verse 8. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Everyone say, produce fruit.
Produce fruit.
You know, how do you know that a tree is an apple tree? How do you know?
Apple.
By look at the fruit, apple fruit. Is that right? Actually, when I moved into my home in Bellevue, I did not know that I have an apple tree for a long time. I saw a tree sitting there until one day the fruit come out. Oh, this is apple tree. I did not even know that it's an apple tree until the apple came out. So the same thing. When the Bible talk about fruit, it means something people can see. People can identify. People can tell this is godly people or ungodly people. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we will turn away from sin. And we need to renounce it. We need to hate it. Hate it.
Amen.
You cannot turn away from something you hate, you love. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I never turn away from Pastor Da. I like to walk close to her because I love her. That's why I keep coming back to church on Sunday because I love brother and sister. I want to be around them. You don't want to, you cannot turn away from something that you love. If you love sin, you will not turn away from sin. You need to make decision to hate sin. You need to have the same attitude of God as God. God loves sinners, but he hates sins. Amen. Let's say at the same time, I love sinners.
I love sinners.
But I hate sin.
I hate sin.
Therefore, when you see sinner around you, don't judge them. Don't judge them. Don't hate them. Don't criticize them. Just love them. Amen.
Amen.
Just love people. But you don't agree with their actions. You love them, but you hate their sin. And you hate sin in your own life. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Amen.
Amen.
If you want the oil of joy, you need to repent. You need to hate sin. And you need to turn away from your wicked way. David said that. David views sin as something yucky. Something very unbeautiful, very
disgusting.
Yes. That's right. I cannot try to find the word. Thank you. You know, when David sinned against God by killing Uriah and taking Bathsheba to be his wife, he recognized that he did not only sin against Bathsheba and her husband, but he sinned against God. And he repented right away when the prophet Nathan confronted him. You notice that King David and King Saul were different. When King Saul was confronted by the prophet Samuel, King Saul said, but what? He argued. He gave excuses. But when King David was confronted with the prophet Nathan, he said, yes, I'm wrong. God forgive me. He repented right away. This is the key. You need to repent right away when God confronted you, when God convicted you. Amen.
Amen.
In Psalm 51 verses 1 to 4. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, everyone say, against God.
Against God.
When we sin against somebody, we don't only sin against that person, we sin against God as well. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. So King David, that's why he is called a man after God's own heart. He repented so quickly. He really knew that God hated sin. He really knew that he needed to live a life that pleasing to God. Amen? Should we become a man and a woman after God's own heart? Amen? So that's number four. Now look at number five, the last one. Restitution. What does it mean, restitution? You will not really repent until you finish all five things. Restitution means paying back what we have done wrong. That is recorded in the book of Leviticus, chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Leviticus says, chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, God gave a law to the children of Israel that when they steal something from somebody, they need to pay back what they steal. Not only that, they need to give one-fifth more restitution. Let me read the Bible to you. The Lord said to Moses, if anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord by deceiving his neighbor about something entrusted to him or left in his care or stolen, or if he cheats him, or if he finds lost property and lies about it, or if he swears falsely, or if he commits any such sin that people may do, when he thus sins and becomes guilty, he must return, everyone say return, what he has stolen or taken by extortion, or what was entrusted to him, or the lost property he found, or whatever it was he swore falsely about. He must make restitution in full. Everyone say restitution.
Restitution.
In full. Add a fifth of the value to it and give it all to the owner on the day he presents his guilt offering. Wow. Not only return what you stole, but you need to give one-fifth more. That means restitution. Amen. Look at the life of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He repented of his sin. He cheated money from people. Look at what he said when he repented in Luke chapter 19, verse 8. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Wow, if you cheat $100, you pay $400. That's what Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus really showed repentance. Amen? He's serious about repentance. Let me give you an analogy of three situations. If Mary borrowed a lawnmower from Alan Eastwood and he broke it. He broke the lawnmower. He brings back that one, broken one to you. You think in your heart, will you let that lady borrow the lawnmower again? Probably no. Okay. The second situation, Mary breaks the lawnmower, she fix it, repair it, and return to you. What is the chance that you will let her borrow again? More, higher chance. How about this? She breaks it, she repair it for you. Not only that, she bring back with a gift certificate to go to Daniel Broiler. $100. You think if she come 10 more times, you will let her borrow? Yeah. Okay. Or give it to her. Yes. Or marry her.
I'll break it.
Amen. So you can see here that why restitution is important. Restitution really brings true reconciliation and the repairing of all the broken relationship. Therefore, if Ben offends Anne, not really that you say sorry to her, you need to take her out to sushi, to see sushi place. Amen. And I don't mind that you will bring pastor with you. Amen. Oh, Pastor Kenny. How do you recognize a truly born again Christian? By seeing the fruit of their life. And that fruit we call the fruit of repentance, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Repentance is not a one-time thing. Repentance is daily, hourly, yearly, all the time. Amen. My dear brother and sister, we are not perfect yet. We are all under the construction of God. Believe me, all of us still have many issues in our life, many aspects of our life that God needs to deal with us. Amen?
Amen.
And God is going to keep coming back to deal with us so that we can repent one by one. I noticed one thing in revival. When God touched people and people fall under the power on the ground, one thing that God does, He does the same thing He did to Paul on the road to Damascus. He speaks to them. And He begins to deal with them about the sin in their life. He begins to talk to them about what they need to change. Because revival is about change. Revival is not just about falling and laughter and shaking. Revival is about change. God wants to bring us back to the first love for Jesus. Living our life fully for God. Falling in love with Jesus. And just sold out for Jesus. And how can you sold out for Jesus? Be sold out for Jesus. If you still harbor and keep all the sin. All these sin are like a weight behind your back. You cannot run. It will weigh you down. Is that right? So that's why God needs to deal with sin in your life. Through revival. Through the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So let us come to God. And repent every single day. Repentance really brings joy and true happiness. Amen. Sin destroys people. Sin damages people. Sin is like a poison. Sin will poison your future and the plan of God in your life. So you need to get rid of sin and repent as soon as possible. Luke chapter 15 verse 7 say, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous person who do not need to repent. If you recognize that you are a sinner by nature and you repent every single day, you are a candidate to rejoice in heaven with the rest of the saints. Amen.
Amen.
I want to conclude this lesson that we all have the sinful nature. We are fighting the good fight of faith every single day. Amen. And God wants us to be an overcomer. God wants us to be a champion.
Yes.
The champion is inside you. His name is Jesus. And He can move on the inside of you by His Spirit. And the more you love Him, the more you submit to Him, the more you are close to Him, the more the champion in your life, His name is Jesus, will manifest Himself through you and will give you life and victory over sin.
Amen.
The Bible says like this in Romans chapter 8 verse 2. You remember verse 1 say, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And then verse 2 He said this, because why we don't have to live in condemnation? Why do we don't need to live in sin all the time? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
I remember that approximately 10 years ago, I was still sinning a lot. Even though I was a pastor, I was still having a lot of temptations and fell into temptation all the time. And when I went to Las Vegas this time, I find out that the Spirit of Life has set me free. Amen. I tell you, I walked through those hotels, it didn't touch me even one bit. Pastor Da and I did not have even one feeling, even one little bit of the desire to gamble or to do anything or to drink or to smoke, to do anything with those sin it at all. We even feel bad for all these people that are sinning and destroying their life. We pray for them. You know, it not because I'm a great man, but because the champion is in me. Because I submit to him. And I want to encourage you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Spirit of Life. Soak yourself with the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God all the time. Amen. Read the Bible. Be filled with the Word. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will be the champion. You will be an overcomer. And that is God's plan for your life. He wants you to be an overcomer, so that you can go and help other people to be overcomer as well. Amen. Amen. So let's live a life of repentance. Let's pray together that God will help us to live a victorious life.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Lord, for your word today.
Yes.
Your word is so powerful. We pray, Father, that the Spirit of Life will give a new heart to us, that we will be able to overcome the law of death, the law of sin, and we will live a life that is so full of godliness, righteousness, love, mercy, compassion, the life that is full of the fear of God, Father. Oh Lord, help us to be hungry for your word. Help us to be thirsty for the rivers of God, the Spirit of Life, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Before I end this lesson, I would like to bring an invitation to those who listen to this CD. I want you to experience an abundant life that Jesus promised you.
Amen.
I'm not talking about joining a religion or joining a church. I'm talking about having peace, joy, and an abundant life. And you can do that by having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, who died on the cross for you. I would like to invite you to pray with me a sincere prayer that you invite Jesus into your life. Why don't you pray with me and ask the Lord to become Lord and Savior of your life so that your sin will be forgiven? Pray with me, please. Father in heaven,
I am a sinner.
I repent of my sin.
Lord Jesus,
I receive you
to be the Lord
and Savior of my life.
Come in, Lord,
and save me.
Give me a new heart
and a new spirit.
I belong to you now.
I am a child of God now.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Congratulations for inviting Jesus into your heart. I would like to encourage you that you go and tell somebody as soon as possible that you become a Christian. Find a good spirit-filled revival, Bible-based church, and serve the Lord all the days of your life. God bless you. I and Pastor Da love you. And we believe that God has best thing in store for your life. God has the best plan for your life. Amen.
Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042. 1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington 98040. Thank you very much.